little bit of different order this morning of our worship service. We will be singing praises to the Lord in just a moment. Many of you have gone through quite an ordeal with the weather that hit. I was talking to Daryl, or texting with him, or can't remember which. He said, you know, there ought to be a sermon in what just took place. I said, well, there is. I've thought of three different sermons which you're going to get today. It's actually just highlights of three which we can go into later on in connection with what took place. Thankfully, electricity's coming back on for some of you. Thankfully, there were some that were prepared and really didn't notice a difference, and all of that is good. But when we look at this, I see three things that we need to keep in mind. Just from the physical events that took place, this weather that took place that affected so many so greatly and are still affecting many. Still many without power today. And when we think about it, I think first of all, there's the recognition of the vulnerability of humans. We quite often think about being in control. We quite often think about we have things handled. We quite often think about technology will take care of it. And I think we come to find out that smartphones are not very smart when there's no cell to feed them. Electricity is not good. Whenever it's not working, it does no one any good because it doesn't exist. We're vulnerable, whether we realize or not. And we think back to some situations that we see in the Old Testament. Job, the 14th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Says there, we are all born weak and helpless, all lead the same short, troubled life. Verse 2, we grow and wither as quickly as flowers, we disappear like shadows. Man with all of his technology, man with all of his knowledge and learning and infrastructure and all that is in place is still just mortal and still vulnerable, without power in this world. And I'm not talking about electricity. I'm talking about the ability to overcome things that come upon us even in nature. We're without power. Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, verse 13 through 15, Solomon writes, I know wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. He says, I know that. He says, the wise can see where they are going and fools cannot, but I also know that the same fate is waiting for us all. I thought to myself, what happens to fools is going to happen to me too. So what I have gained from being so wise, nothing, I answered, not a thing. And again, he's speaking in Ecclesiastes as the debater. The debater of whether or not we're living in vanity. Whether or not there is something greater to look forward to than what is provided in this life. And here is this man that had wisdom beyond so many. And not only wisdom, but also had riches beyond so many. And he says all of that is still vanity, because when you get down to the final conclusion, he says what happens to those that have nothing, no knowledge, no understanding, no power, no authority, no wisdom, he says what's going to happen to them is going to happen to me. And he says, just thinking about it from that standpoint, he says, so what is really the purpose of having wisdom and riches and other things in this life? He says, nothing at all. Of course, later on, he comes to the conclusion that really answers the debate of life. And that's in, of course, the 12th chapter, verse 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. So this is the whole of man. So he comes to the right conclusion that, but he recognizes here the vulnerability of all. Death is going to overtake each and every one of us. That's just an absolute fact. Vulnerable to it, not one thing that we can do about it. Maybe a prolonging of life for a short period of time by technology, but yet it will eventually take us. We see in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 27, Jesus says this, can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? No. No. The way that this body is, even though science doesn't even understand to this day what causes the degradation of the body by aging. They don't really understand that. But it happens. It happens because God made it so that way. When we look over in James 4, chapter verse 13 and 14, James says, "Now listen to me, you that say today or tomorrow we will travel to a certain city where we will stay a year and go into business and make a lot of money. You don't even know what your life tomorrow will be. You are a puff of smoke which appears for a moment and then disappears." And again, James is talking about the vulnerability of man also. All the plans that we can make, using all at our that is available to us of technology and understanding and so forth, is meaningless because, again, we don't know what will happen the next second. We don't know if we'll be here to even think about these things. Life can end in just a moment. But we understand this, that no matter what happens, such as in this storm that took place, there is protection in the Lord. I'm not talking about the Lord miraculously turning on the lights, but rather there is protection of what is needful, of what is important in living this life, and that is living for the Lord. We look over in Mark the 4th chapter, verse 38 through 40. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep," speaking of Jesus, "as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. And they awake him," that is his apostles, "and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Here they were on this small body of water, 18 miles long, about 8 miles wide, something like that, known for its tempestuous nature, in which it arose with great storms quite often. And here was Christ and his apostles crossing in a ship. And as they were crossing, this wind came up, this great tempestuous storm came up. And the apostles, being greatly frightened, go down into the hold of the ship where Jesus was resting comfortably. He was asleep. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And as the song says, how can you lie asleep? You know, there was a way that he could. And the lesson that he gave from that is that no matter the vulnerability of man, there is someone that we can absolutely count on, and that is the God of heaven. And he says to them, "Why do you have little faith?" There is no one that was more protected at that time from anything that would take place on this earth than those apostles in that ship with their Lord. And from the standpoint of that which is important in this life, spirituality, there is absolute protection no matter what comes upon us. We're going to sing now song number 432. Song number 432.
Dark of the midnight, I have all.
certainly can be kept safe. And recognize, of course, that it is the God of heaven that keeps us safe and that we don't have power unto ourselves to do so. But we also understand man's forgetfulness in times such as this. Have we forgotten the ice storm in 1972? And someone says, well, you know, it wasn't as bad. Well, there wasn't the population back then that it was, that there is now. The storm was just as bad. Do we remember the ice storm of 2007? It was just about as bad, not quite, but almost. Do we remember the winter of 2001? Days on end, right at 0 degrees. Do we remember that? It fades from memory over time. Now, one thing that doesn't fade is the tornado of 2022 with some of us. It doesn't fade, but it will over time. It'll be forgotten. It'll be forgotten that, yes, we don't live in Tornado Alley, but tornadoes can happen. They can happen. And man has a way of forgetting over a period of time about the trials and tribulations that come upon them. It's like we wake up and we have not realized or think about those things of the past. And there's a lesson in this from the standpoint of our forgetfulness. Jesus, whenever he is addressing his disciples in Matthew the 16th chapter, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus wasn't talking about physical bread. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said unto them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have not brought bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? Saying, don't you realize that if it was a matter of physical things, don't you have a remembrance that it was taken care of and I can take care of it? They had forgotten and didn't even realize that it was a miracle that Jesus had done on those two particular occasions. But they were not aware. They were not focused. They were not in tune. They were not thinking about the situation. Jesus, of course, as you go on down to verse 11, it says, then they understood, as Jesus explained to them, I'm not talking to you about bread. I'm talking about the teaching of the Pharisees. But when we look at this, I think it helps us to understand that we are forgetful sometimes. We are forgetful. And in our forgetfulness, that leaves us vulnerable. Forgetfulness of things that have taken place in the past. When we look over in James 1, 22 through 25, James says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That is the word of God that is present before us. Are we looking into it? And then when we look into it and see all the minute flaws, all the things that we need to work on, all the corrections that we need to make, do we remember or are we forgetful? Just like it is whenever things come upon us now. I've heard statements, I've never seen it like this before. Well, I have. I've seen ice storms like this before. And they're going to happen again. As long as this earth stands, they will happen again. Will we remember or will we go and wring our hands about, oh, it's so bad now. Well, it was bad then, as it was in the past. When we look into God's word, we have a way to make correction and not be forgetful, because the word then lives in our heart and we make corrections to the flaws and the things that we need to work on. And that's what James is speaking of. We must always be mindful of the Lord. Hebrews, the 12th chapter and verse 2, the Hebrew writer says this, looking unto Jesus. And there are so many that are forgetful about Jesus. You know, I can take care of things on my own. I have gone to people that have fallen away from the Lord. I've talked to them about coming back to the Lord. I've even told them, in your current condition, you're not useful to the Lord, but when you make a change, you'll be useful. You see, the Lord doesn't need you. You need the Lord. I've made comments like that. And I've had several on several occasions say to me, well, whenever I get things straightened out, well, then I'll come back. And I will say to them, there's no way you can straighten it out on your own. You need the Lord to straighten it out. As a matter of fact, when you come to that realization, you'll start on the path back to the Lord. And it has to do with man's forgetfulness, thinking that they can handle things, thinking that we can just take care of it. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is where our focus is to be. And not be forgetful of the past, but rather learn from it. We're going to sing now song number 15, I Will Call Upon the Lord. The third lesson that I thought of concerning the storm is preparedness. Preparedness. Heard people say, if I had just known, I would have been better prepared. Well, remember, it goes back to what we just got through talking about man's forgetfulness. Man's forgetfulness. And it also goes back to the point of the cost of preparation. Now, from a physical standpoint, just living in this life... And businesses do the same thing. Where are we at risk, and what is the financial offset of that risk, and is it worth it? And that takes place. That takes place in business. It takes place in life. Okay? And so we weigh those risks that are there, and we say, well, with the risk that is there, because maybe this won't happen again for 10 years. Of course, it could. We don't know. We don't know that. But we weigh the factors of risk and finance and so forth, and we do that in the physical aspect. And at times it's prudent. But I will tell you, all preparedness has a cost to it. All preparedness have a cost, whether you're talking about in this life or in that which is spiritual. When we look back in Matthew the 25th chapter, verse 1 through 12, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. five were prepared. Do you think that that just automatically appeared that they had the lamps and had all the oil and it didn't cost them anything to have any of that? They looked at the risk that was there. And from a financial standpoint in this parable, they went out and had enough oil to last so that when the bridegroom would come, they would be invited in. The others did not. Now that's from a physical standpoint. From a spiritual standpoint, there is never a cost that is too great to offset the risk. And that's really the point of the parable. You give your all. You give your all to offset any risk of not being invited to the supper of the marriage with the Lord. You give your all. You spend all. You give yourself. And that's really the point that is there within that particular parable. And so we must always be prepared as children of God. There is no risk that is acceptable spiritually. There's none. Well, if someone says, you know, I think that I can do this, I can live worldly and so forth, and I think that the Lord will still accept me and I will be okay. Is it worth the risk? Especially where we have God's word to direct us. When we look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 through 21, Paul says to Timothy, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal." And the seal here is as a stamp of approval that is upon the children of God. The Lord knows those who are His. That's written upon this stamp. It is a spiritual one. It's not seen, as far as physical words are concerned. It's seen in the action of life. The Lord knows those that are His. This one is my child. That is on the seal that comes from God upon His children. Not only that, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's another portion of that stamp or that seal that is there. And it says in our lives, I'm going to be translated out of darkness into the kingdom of the blessed Son. Colossians 1 and verse 13. I'm going to live that sort of life. And so he says then, beginning in verse 20, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, and here is what he's talking about, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that is, from the wood and the clay, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master's use, prepared for every good work. The preparation, the cost, whatever it takes to get rid of the dregs, whatever it takes to get rid of that which is not profitable. I cleanse myself of those. I live in such a way where I'm doing the Lord's will. And that then causes us to have that seal upon us, that stamp of approval by God. So in that preparedness, as we look, in connection with that ice storm, if you weren't prepared, it was from the standpoint of either not recognizing the vulnerability that you were in, your forgetfulness that this is not the first time that this has happened, or weighing the cost. But spiritually, in connection with each and every one of those things, we need to be aware. We need to be aware and we need to be prepared. At this time then, we're going to sing song number 818, I Am Resolved.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free, hasten glad and free, Jesus. Greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. He what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way.
Those are at least three lessons that I prepared for this morning. There could be more. If you went outside and attempted to walk or to drive on the ice, you could find yourself slipping. There's a spiritual application to that. If you walked outside and somehow accidentally locked the door and didn't bring your coat with you, well, then you were exposed to the elements. There's a spiritual application to that. There's so many that we could have, but I presented these three. The thought about really our humility, our vulnerability as human beings and the need for God, and our forgetfulness of the things that took place. And in connection with that, then the preparedness, because we are not forgetful. We have in mind always that which is needed. All of that, of course, the most important from the spiritual aspect. And so I ask this morning, are you ready? And when we look at that particular thought, this life is full of uncertainty. When we look in Job, the first chapter, verses 13 through 19, and we'll not read all of it, but we'll look at portions of it. Now there was a day when the sons of daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword." While that was going on, it was reported to Job that fire fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants. While that was being reported, another came to him and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and raided the camels and took everything that he had." And while that was being reported, another came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." When we think about that, we see the uncertainty of life. And I'll just tell you that I don't believe that Satan had miraculous power to cause these things to happen. I think that he used these events that took place for his influence. What he was trying to instill in Job when these things took place in Job's life was this: Job, God doesn't care for you. Job, God doesn't want the best for you. Job, God has left you alone. You are helpless and hopeless. And Satan used those events in order to try to instill that in Job's mind. He still works that same way today. Think about it. Do we live in a new world each day or remember God's blessing? Because Satan is still out there. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and has raised us together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Do we keep in mind the blessings that we have? Are we mindful of them and not forgetful? Or do we allow Satan to enter doubt into our mind, just as he tried to do with Job? It's hopeless. It's helpless. There's no need to cry in that song that was sang earlier. There's no need to try. And so that is what we're living with in this world. But you see, we can be prepared. And I ask, are we prepared? Because we need to be. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, in verse 27, the Hebrew writer says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." There will come a judgment. Let me tell you, the preparation in connection with this deals with our understanding that we're not in control, deals with our ability to remember, if we'll put it to use, deals with us not taking risks, especially in the spiritual sense, our preparedness, and then making ourselves ready at all times. Maybe those here this morning that are not children of God, I ask you, is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk? Well, certainly not. And just saying, "Well, I'll become a child of God because I don't want to take the risk," is not enough. Because there has to be true faith. There has to be that. But you need to make preparation. You need to be ready. And the reason being is that your life is going to end, or this world is going to end, but all things that are temporal are going to end at some point. And that time we don't know. Then those of us that are Christians, You know, there are so many things that come upon us. Here we have a wonderful congregation here at South Loop. And at any point in time, if we're not vigilant, if we don't recognize that we can be vulnerable, if we don't always keep in mind doing the Lord's will, if we don't always remain prepared, there could be those that could enter into this congregation and tear it apart. But if we have that preparedness, that won't happen. That won't happen because we'll be looking to the Lord. And so are you prepared, even as children of God? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?